said you love with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the teaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
So I'll leave it at that. Hey, we're wrapping up this study of 1 Samuel, our summer series. If you have your copy of the scriptures, we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 16 this morning. We've looked through this book. We've seen a glimpse of ourselves. We've seen quite a glimpse of God and how He operates. And now we come to a place where we want to look forward. We want to see what 1 Samuel has given us in the way of a foretaste of Christ, a foreshadowing of Christ, and even our relationship to this story, our place in this story. And we'll do that here in chapter 16. As you think of a foretaste of Christ from this book, we got a glimpse of this at the start as we were entering into 1 Samuel and we looked at Samuel's life. We saw the circumstances surrounding his birth. We saw his mother Hannah's prayer. And that looked an awful lot, we discovered, like the prayer that Mary prayed, that Magnificat found in the Gospel of Luke. We've seen of Samuel's birth. He was born into a time when the priesthood was corrupt, when the religious system was going off the rails. And we know of Jesus that his arrival here was in much the same season, the priesthood corrupt, the religious system going off the rails. Jesus turning the tables over. We also saw of Samuel's ministry just last week, that as Samuel got older, the people decided to reject him. And then last week we saw that they decided to reject God in favor of a king. And we see of Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, much the same thing. His ministry flourished until such a time as the people decided to reject him, instead of for another king, for another criminal, in calling for Barabbas. So you get kind of a foretaste of Christ, even in a glimpse at Samuel's life. But it's in David, in the Davidic throne, where we really start to feel the sense of God's bringing a Messiah to this earth, bringing salvation to His people, to you and me. And so we'll take a look at this passage in 1 Samuel 16 and the glimpse that David gives us of Christ and of our relationship to Him. Before I read this, would you pray with me once more? Father, again, it's been a good study for me this year to look at this book and to get a look in the mirror at human character, at human flaw, at human depravity, to get a look at God, the consistency, the character, the way in which You deal with people, the way in which You deal with us. And to get a glimpse again of the hope and the promise that is found in Jesus. To that end, as we read this text, Father, would you speak to our hearts and show us more of Christ. Nurture our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one that I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I've come to sacrifice to the Lord." "Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "No, nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons that you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." And so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. You know, again, to take us back the last few studies, we've moved, as you remember, through where Saul had been rejected by God. And when Saul was rejected, he said, "I'm going to anoint a king who is a man after my own heart. This will be the king. This will be the throne that I establish," God said. And so this is the text where that's beginning to unfold. And you see at the beginning, God says to the prophet Samuel, "Go to a man named Jesse in the town of Bethlehem. That's where we're going to find this king. That's where we're going to find this one after God's own heart." And again, you see some of that foreshadowing here, in that the instruction is given specifically. Go to this man of this line, of this tribe, in this city, in this location, Bethlehem. For that is where we'll find this king. And that's important as you get into the New Testament, particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, where they begin to introduce Jesus Christ. The fact that it is from David's line, from Jesse's line, the fact that this Messiah is from Bethlehem, the city of David, those are things that enforce in God's people that this Jesus is the Messiah. Those are things that testify to his identity as God's chosen, as God's anointed. You see that part of the story beginning to be unrolled right here, unfolded right here. And also, you see that Samuel is a little concerned about this mission. If I go to anoint the next king, Saul's likely to kill me. He tells God, "I'm nervous about this. Don't know if you've thought about it." But Saul's not going to like this. Saul has already been told, "God is ending your reign. God is bringing your kingdom down." And he's chosen the next king. It's a man after his own heart. And now God wants to send Samuel to go get that guy. And that gives us a little bit of a foretaste, a foreshadowing as well. Do you remember the reception that Jesus Christ was born into? A certain jealous ruler decided, "We want this baby dead." Herod would stop at nothing to nip this new king in the bud. And here, you get a foretaste of that story. And I'm sure Samuel is worried about how he's going to discern who this one is. "You're sending me to Jesse's family in the town of Bethlehem. How will I know? How will I know which one's the one?" And it's God who's in the detail of sending him. You know, I've been thinking a lot about my friend Red Orff this week. it's probably something that has never occurred to me until he's no longer here with me. But Red Orff is the first person I ever met in New Hampshire. When I flew up in November of 1999 to preach here one weekend, my first ever trip here, it was Red Orff who picked me up at the airport. And I remember talking to my brother Dave on the phone. And Dave said, "A guy named Red Orff will pick you up." And I'm like, how am I going to know who Red Orff is? And Dave said, they call him Red for a reason. Well, sure enough, I'm on the escalator at Manchester coming down, and there's a man with a smile and red hair. That must be Red Orff. But Samuel would be reassured in that God is in these details. You know, if I go, Saul might kill me. And look at what God says. So here's what we'll do. Take a heifer. Tell them that you're there to sacrifice. Consecrate the people and invite them to the sacrifice. God is in these details. Bring it together. You get a foretaste of the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John here. In that God was in the details there. Do you remember him telling Joseph? When Joseph was thinking of divorcing Mary quietly, listen, this is what you do. This is how it's going to work out. When Joseph was needing to move about from those who would harm baby Jesus, this is where you go. This is how you proceed. God's in the details. I would go so far as to say that we might have Red Orff to thank for me being at Christ Church today. Not only did Red pick me up at the airport, but my first night in New Hampshire was in Red's house. And he went out to the grill on his deck, and he grilled me marinated steak tips. Probably the best dinner I've ever had. And then when I woke up in the morning, I went downstairs to his kitchen, and he was making French toast with real maple syrup. French toast that was a foot thick, I'm telling you. And I was saying, I believe I could hang out with these New Hampshire folks a little longer. In the details, God working this thing, bringing it to pass. In the details of the Gospels, bringing Messiah into place. Samuel did what the Lord said, and then he has this encounter with Jesse and his sons. Down in verse 6 there, he sees the first son. And he says, surely this is the one. And God rejects him. This is not the one. You know, I've always wondered, what did this scene look like? You know, as Jesse and his sons are there and he's parading his sons out, and Samuel's like, nah. If you're like the second or third son, are you going, what are we doing? You know, why are we here? Oh, we're here to sacrifice. What's this beauty pageant stuff as they walk out, as they turn? And what's this look like? Verse 7, a great big but for you. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know, and it's a great contrast because Saul, we read, was a big, tall, strapping guy, looked like a king. And everybody who looked upon him said, wow, now that looks like a king, you know? But God looks at the heart. God's unfolding his plan. What's it that the scriptures say about Jesus? There was nothing about his appearance. Unless you watch the movies. You ever notice Jesus is always the handsomest guy in the Jesus movies? I'm not advocating for an ugly Jesus. I'm just saying. Anyway. Look down at verse 11. Are these all the sons? No, I have a youngest son. He's a shepherd. He's out tending the sheep. There's something that again gives us a picture of Jesus. You know, Jesus' favorite metaphors, among Jesus' favorite metaphors, was that of a shepherd caring for his sheep. Referred to himself as a shepherd. Referred to his followers as the sheep that knew his voice, heard him, followed him. You know, here's a picture again. This one that God is bringing forth as a king, he's a shepherd. He's another picture of the one who would follow Jesus. And then the Lord said, rise and anoint this one. God saying, rise and anoint this one gives me the picture of that same testimony of Jesus. Happened at his baptism. Had it happen later at his transfiguration. This is my son. in whom I'm well pleased. You get a picture of what God is going to bring to pass in Jesus as David's story is unfolding. A couple years back, a small group of men and I studied together through this book. We'd read a chapter a week and we'd meet and talk about it over coffee. And we got to this place, chapter 16, in our study. And we got to go all the way to the end of the book, which is 31, 15 more weeks of this. And if you take the time to read from chapter 16 to the end of this book, you'll see that what we're about to embark on is an amazing journey. Saul has been rejected. David has been anointed. But now the battle begins for one kingdom to end and the other one to start. And as we did this study, week in and week out, we were stunned how many times Saul had an opportunity to try and kill David. David narrowly escaped. David had an opportunity to kill Saul and end this whole thing, but chose not to. Do you remember when we started this study? We were in those texts where the situation was bad, and we would have been tempted to act in certain ways and let the end justify the means. When we did this study a couple years back, we saw week in and week out, David had those chances. Situation's bad, go ahead, take him out. And David, every time, said in the Lord's timing, not now, not this way. This is that man after God's own heart. And I tell you, we see the same thing in Jesus. Do you remember all those places in the gospel where the crowds are growing? Jesus does a miracle, and then he says, listen, don't tell anybody about this, all right? Because my time hasn't come. We don't want a rebellion. We don't want a political uprising. You see, in God's timing, this will come to pass. And Jesus understood that it couldn't be shortcutted or shortchanged. Jesus needed to die. Jesus needed to be buried. Jesus needed to rise again. Some kind of a political uprising or rebellion led by masses of people? That wasn't the answer. And Jesus oftentimes said, my time hasn't come yet. These Old Testament books, you know, they grow dust in many of our Bibles. But they give us a picture that we can look in the mirror and see ourselves, our tendencies as human beings, our struggles to make the right decisions that honor God, to be men and women after God's own heart. These Old Testament books give us a picture of God and His consistency, doing it His way, and walking in close fellowship with those who wait upon Him and walk with Him in close communion. And it gives us a picture of our backstory. Backstory, if you don't know what it is, that's sort of like the part of the story that has placed us here. The Old Testament gives us that. You see, it places us in the story. This context of David's kingdom, this context of the Messiah's kingdom, this context of our Savior. And what a rich thing it is to see that you were on God's mind thousands of years ago. That you didn't happen upon the stage by accident. That you didn't step into your role by chance. But that God was a God of the details. And He's the artist putting this portrait together, this picture together that involves you and involves me. Would you pray with me? Father, would you nurture our hearts with the rest of this story as we've studied 1 Samuel? to find the context with the Gospels, the New Testament, to find the context with our own lives and our own walk. Would you minister to our hearts through your word? We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, yeah, I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, yeah, I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul.